is the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast.
Hello, friends. Welcome to yet another in what seems to be an endless line of Celebrity Afterlife Reports, the only show on the internet that gives you the up-to-the-minute gossip about all your favorite deceased celebs. I'm the celebrity medium. And you keep listening to this stuff, so I keep making them, which makes you kind of an enabler. Anyway, I've got a full schedule of stories for you, so I should just stop treading water and, you know, get right to them. You want a scoop? All right, say it out loud. I want a scoop. All right, since you insisted, I'll give you a scoop. We've been talking for the last few weeks now about the crazy movie artists Jean-Michel Basquiat and Salvador Dali are making Inside Environment, the indoor rain attraction in the next world. Not much is known about the movie or its plot, but we do know that it features a 150-foot-high replica of the Sphinx. So last week I reported that the giant statue would be faithful to the original, other than the fact that the face would be different from the one setting out in the Egyptian desert. There's also the fact that it's being constructed into some kind of jello-like material, so, you know, there's that. Anyway, according to what I believe to be a reputable source, I can now reveal whose face the Neo Sphinx will have. Brace yourself. I'm told that the giant statue will have the face of Michael Jackson. Why? Nobody knows. What they do, they aren't saying. But see, it's an interesting revelation, but it opens up more questions than it answers, I'd say. Number one being, will it be the face of the original black Michael Jackson? Or the white Michael Jackson of his later years? Which nose will it have? So many questions, so few answers at this point. The formerly all-white community, gated community, known as Trump City, was taken over a few weeks back by Steve Jobs and some supporters. Wasn't exactly an armed insurrection. They just moved in the dead of night and took over all the unoccupied houses in the town. You know, there's no government in the afterlife, so who's going to stop them? I was informed that over the weekend, the last of the Trumpistas have left the town on their own, and things are now 100% in the hands of Jobs and his partner Walt Disney. Construction on a dome over the entire town began almost immediately after the takeover. And I am informed that it is now nearing completion. Those guys work fast. The intention is to make the town the center for cutting-edge innovation in the afterlife. A press release issued the other day announced that the new official name for the town is Mediopolis, intended to be a combination of media and metropolis. All right, you know, it's not the greatest thing I've ever heard, but you know, it's a marketing thing. A lot of people, including many who dislike how the town's takeover was handled, are sarcastically referring to it as Appleton or Dystopia. Get it? Dystopia, you know, like Disney. Rumor has it that Jobs and Disney aren't happy about the nicknames, but you know, what are they going to do about them? They have run full-page ads in Next World newspapers recruiting people who were involved with cutting-edge or visionary projects on the earthly plane to move to the town where, allegedly, their ideas will be encouraged and allowed to flourish. Now, I gotta say, Jobs and Disney certainly have the pedigree to bring, you know, new things to fruition, but do they have the ability to run an actual community? You know, Epcot in Florida was supposed to be an actual community, and as soon as Walt died, that got thrown out the window, so we just don't know if these guys can pull this off. Mm-hmm. months ago, I told you that Gary Marshall, the creator of Mork and Mindy, Happy Days, and other popular TV shows, was offered the job as creative director of the still unnamed all-canine TV network, which has yet to air. This thing has been in the planning stages since before the Great Flood, it seems. At the time, many people wondered why Marshall, a very successful TV producer on the earthly plane, would take the job. To the skeptics, Marshall said that the concept of the network was so crazy, he wanted to see where it would go, and that it just sounded like a fun job. Now, according to what I was told recently by a source, however, he may be reconsidering that decision. 2 weeks ago, I had the story about Alan Thicke, who has been trying to get his old late-night talk show, Thick of the Night, back on the air in the afterlife, taking a meeting with some execs at the network. The thing was, Thicke didn't know the format of the network before he got there because he had just recently arrived in the next world. And he was completely surprised, to say the least, when the execs told him that they wanted to put the show on their channel, but with the stipulation that he have a collie as his sidekick. You know, in keeping with the theme of the network. When he realized the offer wasn't a joke, Alan stormed out of the meeting angrily and subsequently fired his agent and manager for setting it up. What I can now report is that Gary Marshall wasn't at that meeting and in fact knew nothing about it beforehand. It looks like there's some kind of power play going on behind the scenes at the network, and some of the others in the executive suite thought it would be good for their careers to be the ones to get Alan Thicke on their airwaves. So they went around Marshall, and as you would imagine, word is that he is not happy about the situation. He is said to be fuming mad and to have gone on a high-volume tirade when he found out about the whole debacle. Rumor mill says he's called Alan Thicke to apologize and explain that he had nothing to do with the offer whatsoever. The story goes on that he has promised he will make some phone calls to try to get Thicke of the Night on another more appropriate network. And it is said there is a great deal of tension right now at the Doggy Channel. Speaking of people trying to shop projects around, legendary actor Gene Wilder is currently knocking on doors trying to find someone to produce a script he has written for his former wife, Gilda Radner. Gilda was, of course, one of the original cast members on Saturday Night Live back in the 70s. They were reunited when Gene arrived in the next world and have been inseparable ever since. He's being tight-lipped about the plot or even the genre of the movie he's writing for Gilda, but he says it is unlike anything she's ever done before and that people will be very surprised when they see her in it. Sounds interesting. Okay, that's it. I'm done for now. Hope that entertained you. And I also hope you'll come back next week when I expect to have more up-to-the-minute gossip about all your favorite celebs for you. Do me a solid, won't you, by shouting from the rooftops. The report can be found on iTunes, in the Google Play Store, and on K-Chung Radio, AM 1630 in Los Angeles. And hit the like button if you're watching this on YouTube and subscribe to my channel, please. I'm the Celebrity Medium. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast. To ask a question about your favorite deceased celebrity, call 818-3-MY-DREAM. 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 3693732.